The Biden administration has opened up the East Coast to massive commercial offshore wind farms, stretching from Massachusetts down to North Carolina. New Jersey has staked its claim to lead the nation in this push to tackle climate change. But those planned wind farms off the Jersey shore occupy some of the most fertile fishing grounds in the nation. State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips reports on the growing battle between fisheries and wind power.
It's a busy day at Dockside Packing in Atlantic City. A crane operator offloads cages of Atlantic surf clams from the deck of the Miss Anita. Each one contains 2,000 pounds of clams dredged from the ocean bottom off the coast.
So this is what they call a hydraulic clam dredge. And if you'll notice on the front,
Captain Tom Dameron explains how seawater is pumped into the bottom to stir up the clam beds, and a giant rake or dredge scoops up the larger clams.
You have a knife blade that's similar to a blade on a plow that actually digs into the bottom. That is the part that, if there was electric cables down there, we would be afraid of that part coming into contact with the electric cables.
Those electric cables he's worried about would act as a giant extension cord, carrying up to 275,000 volts of wind-generated electricity to shore for distribution to homes across New Jersey and beyond. Current plans include three lease areas stretching over hundreds of thousands of acres and encompassing a grid of several hundred turbines aimed to power millions of homes, making New Jersey the largest leasing area yet. But that's just the beginning. The Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management announced this year an additional 8 leases farther out to sea between Long Island and Cape May. Dameron says clammers can't safely maneuver through such a wind farm.
That is going to lead to a lot more boats in a lot smaller area. It's basically going to lead to localized overfishing, which will lead to the boats targeting smaller and smaller clams, which has the potential to lead to the collapse of this fishery here in Atlantic City.
The poles, or monopiles, driven into the seabed will be 35 feet in diameter, rising 80 stories tall with 350-foot blades. They will be surrounded by hard structures that have never before existed off the Jersey coast. Dameron spent decades harvesting clams, the kind that end up in cans of clam chowder on grocery store shelves or served in restaurants. Now, he's the Government Relations and Fishery Science Liaison for Surfside Foods, which employs about 100 people. Surf clams were the first seafood to be regulated by the federal government, leading the way for what has become one of the most regulated industries in the nation. Where, when, how, and how much they harvest is strictly monitored and enforced. Dameron says about 20% of the average yearly catch comes from the areas now slated to be wind farms.
We're literally fighting for the existence of the clam industry to remain in the port of Atlantic City.
Another fear is what could happen to a unique feature of New Jersey's coastal fishery. It's called the cold pool. While surface waters warm each summer, lower parts of the mid-Atlantic Ocean don't mix very much unless there's a hurricane. So that deeper, colder water acts as a refrigerator for species like clams and scallops, along with bottom fish like summer flounder. And it's unclear whether the wind turbines will affect that mix of ocean temperatures for better or for worse. Researchers like Rutgers University shellfish ecologist Daphne Monroe are racing to figure out what this massive industrialization of the ocean will mean for fisheries, marine mammals, and ecosystems.
From my perspective as a fisheries scientist, that's a lot of ocean and a lot of fisheries and a lot of marine habitat that's on the table. And so there's a lot to think about.
Monroe recently had to shift her focus to the impact of wind. Her computer modeling shows fishermen like Dameron are right to be fearful.
the concentration of fishing to certain parts of the ocean are probably going to mean that there'll be depletion of the stock. It'll probably mean that, you know, the fleet won't be able to operate the way they are now. But it certainly hasn't changed the planning and leasing strategy for where these wind farms are going to go.
Ørsted, the Danish company that will build and operate about 200 turbines within two of the offshore lease areas, says the fishermen will be able to fish between the structures, which will be spaced at 1 nautical mile apart. Ørsted's Matti Urbisch says the company believes it can coexist with the fishing industry.
And in terms of some of the concerns about trawling, the undersea cables are buried quite deep, and we have no interest in having any equipment caught on them either.
Urbisch points to all the jobs that could be created by the industry. For example, a new manufacturing plant in Paulsboro will employ hundreds of union workers to build the monopiles. Urbisch also points out an even greater threat to the fishery is climate change itself. There's some evidence that warming oceans are already affecting the clams and scallops along the coast. That's not to say these wind farms alone will solve those problems. But proponents say the race to build renewables is a race against mass extinction in general. It's a dilemma that researcher Daphne Munro knows well.
It's one of those interesting trade-offs, right? So we have to do something about climate change. Green energy is an option. But, you know, we also have sustainable fisheries that are some of the most efficient ways of producing proteins for human consumption. There's a balance to be struck.
Dameron says the rush to build wind has got that balance wrong.
The problem that we're finding is that our administration on the federal level has said, make this happen. Our governors in New York and New Jersey have said, make this happen.
An industry group recently filed a lawsuit challenging federal permits for a similar wind farm off the coast of Massachusetts. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is studying how to compensate the fishing industry for any losses. Susan Phillips, State Impact, Pennsylvania.